only. Yeah, it's a plea deal. 23 years after 9/11, the families of the dead, completely screwed over by the Biden administration, weren't even told this was coming, had to read about it in the news. Unbelievable. The announcement, the New York Post write, came as a bitter pill to swallow for victims' families who have anxiously awaited the conclusion of the case for nearly 24 years, many of whom felt death was the only appropriate punishment for the perpetrators of this heinous attack. Now they're doing all the, oh, Biden administration, no, we are hands off. Yeah, whatever. No part of the Democrat Party is hands off with any part of the deep state, whether that's the FBI, any part of the military, any tribunal, it doesn't matter. They run it all. They run it all when we're in power. This is just disturbing. It's disgusting. It was a green light for the terrorists coming over the border right now that we're rolling the welcome mat out for. And we are, Lee. I mean, you could turn yourself in to the Border Patrol and they will let you go.
Or just download the app.
And they will let you go. Again, we're looking for 50 of them right now brought in by ISIS. You see any update to that? I Google it every day, see if we got them. We haven't. ISIS is running a smuggling network on our border under Kamala Harris and Alejandro Mayorkas. And look, let's not forget how the next 9/11 is being engineered by the Democrat Party right now. No apologies. I mean, Kamala Harris told us in 2019 that the wall was the height of irresponsibility, and it was terrible because terrorists, Lee, would never come here. Oh, they say this, they're coming here. You mean the worst thing's going to happen to me if I kill 3,000 of you is I get a permanent vacation at Gitmo. I don't even have to die, which they're willing to do. Shoot, I'm going to sign up for that. Where's the ISIS smuggling network? Again, here is Kamala Harris in 2019.
This is irresponsible. It's the height of irresponsibility for the commander-in-chief to suggest that we have to build a wall across our southern border because there are terrorists who are trying to invade the country. It couldn't be farther from the truth.
We've caught a little more than 600 on terror watch lists between the northern and the southern border.
And that number has been increasing while she and Biden have been in office.
Yeah, they don't care. They've learned about the terrorists. They know. There's no way you don't know about the terrorists. The New York Times has reported it. And they don't care. They haven't changed a thing. In fact, Alejandro Mayorkas went a step further. And if they can't find you on a terror watch list, even if you're from a terror harboring and sponsoring nation like Yemen, where the government allows the camps, encourages the camps, you're not on the terror watch list, welcome on in. So all they got to do is send somebody who's not on the terror watch list. Not hard. This is where we are. And this is the same administration that has just done this to these 9/11 families. It's shocking.
Yeah.
But you know what's even more shocking? Is what Brett Eagleson, the president of 911 Justice, said this morning on Fox News. Okay, this is the kind of thing I would normally expect to hear from a conspiracy site or some YouTube channel on black ops or something. And honestly, I would, you know, normally just ignore it, never play it on this show. This guy represents the 9/11 families because they elected him to. His dad died on 9/11. Listen to why he says they did this. This is shocking. And he even said, look, I don't care. God's going to judge these people. I don't care if they kill him or not. He said, but the government just did this to avoid a trial because they don't want the American people to hear from these top three terrorists who put 9/11 together. And they definitely don't want them to hear from them under oath. They are terrified, our government, of what they will tell you. Whoa. Wait. You mean this isn't just another, because, you know, Kamala Harris is very opposed to the death penalty. So this wasn't a, hey, we don't like the death penalty, we're going to give him a plea deal. No, he says. I'll let him explain to you what he thinks is going on here. And Lee, we have seen some of this. We have seen some of what he's talking about in the very few documents that the FBI is still not withholding on 9/11. We've learned shocking things that, like that, the Bush administration prevented the FBI agents from interviewing Saudi officials, put them on a plane so the FBI couldn't interview them, and flew them back to Saudi Arabia. To the frustration at the time of FBI whistleblowers who have since blown the whistle. So our government is covering up something with 9/11. It's big, whatever it is. I mean, I don't know what it is. I'm not going to speculate, but it's big. And that's what Brett Eagleson is getting at here. And again, this is not some quack. This is a guy who represents the 9/11 families. He's the president of 9/11 Justice, and he said this on Fox News this morning.
Well, it's just terrible, and it's shocking. And just yesterday, I sat with over 500 family members in the Southern District of Federal Court in Manhattan, where we waited 23 years for a trial in that court, and we found out about all the role that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has played. We finally got access to documents that the FBI and the DOJ has finally shared with us, and this is exactly why. And this is the importance of why we need a public trial. Look, the United States government does not want the American public to see what these individuals have to say. They want to wrap 9/11 up in a box and put a little bow on it and put it on a shelf and never have to deal with these painful, tough issues.
They don't want the American people to see what the terrorists have to say. Okay. That's interesting. What else did Brett Eagleman, president of 9/11 Justice, who represents these families, again, because they have elected him, what else did he say about what the government doesn't want you to know? About why these guys won't go on trial? Because then you might know things. Oh, this is interesting.
We want to know what the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia did. We want to know what they did. Listen, everything that we've uncovered said that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has played a significant role. We now know that 30 individuals helped Saudi Arabian government officials facilitate and support the 9/11 hijackers. These individuals hold the truth to what actually happened on 9/11. It wasn't that somehow 19 individuals with no knowledge of English, no experience in Western culture, no money, no idea how to fly a plane were able to somehow band together and pull off the most devastating and consequential attack in this country's history without any help from anybody. And what we've uncovered is that they had significant help. They had help in the form of the government of Saudi Arabia.
Wow. Where are these people? Some of them were allowed to fly back to Saudi Arabia. Some of them aren't. Their names, we don't even know. We don't even know where they are. Weird, right? Weird. And what would a trial do? We can't control, the government can't control what these terrorists might say. They might be honest. That could be a problem for some reason. I want to know what that reason is.
Oh, whether or not they're honest or not doesn't matter. It is the fact that the questions would be raised that opportunistic, to say the least, journalists would go ahead and investigate.
Yeah.
And follow up on. And quite honestly, there's... You know, much of what you're talking about here has been talked about for years, obviously denied by the government. But this involvement of Saudi Arabia and the actions of the Bush administration right after the attack, those have been talked about for quite some time. But they haven't gotten the traction, I don't think, that could happen if there were a full-scale trial, like you're saying.
When you start going down that rabbit hole, and I have for years read about it, you start to realize there is something massive. There is a behemoth iceberg under the water here with 9/11 that our government does not want us to know about. And it's just interesting to me that I thought his reaction would be outrage. Hey, we're not going to kill him. And he said, I don't care if we kill him. I want to hear from them. I want to understand where the 30 went that helped them. I want to know who they are. I want to know what their connections were. And he most especially wanted to know, he said in the past, not in this interview, he wants to know, why did the Bush administration aid and abet him getting him out of the country? Why? That is fact. That's indisputable. We know that, including from FBI whistleblowers. We know that. That's been reported in the New York Post. Why?
And stepping back and looking at the big picture, though, Tara, I'm wondering if this is far greater than any single administration or party, because you have the entire federal bureaucracy, whether it's Democrat, Republican, whatever, trying to walk away from this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see that in this situation here. You know, as you said, we're trying to compartmentalize this, put a big bow on it and set it aside and not talk about it again. Because there are probably things going on here that are some of the things that Washington warned us about foreign entanglements. I think he was primarily concerned about Europe at the time, but there are many foreign entanglements that this country gets into. And I'm not promoting, you know, a complete isolationist attitude. I think that a complete isolationist attitude completely takes you out of things that you have to have some influence on. But I think that there are certain things that go on, certain things that we allow to happen that led to and were involved in this situation.
You're right about that, about both parties. I mean, you have the Bush folks actively covering this up from low-level FBI agents investigating it. And now you've got the Biden administration doing the same thing. This is so secretly, I mean, headline, the red state, Biden's Pentagon approve plea deal for 9/11 conspirators, but won't tell the terms of the agreement. What's in there?
Yeah.
There's something in there. And there's something in there that's bad, and they don't want us to know until after the election. That's what's in there.
Well, I'm not sure it'll be after the election. I mean, you can look at the Kennedy assassination, and we still don't have full disclosure on that. And that was, you know, decades ago.
Look, when you're talking about the Bush administration was run by Daddy Bush. And people forget who Daddy Bush was.
And he was only in, and I'm not discounting that, not at all, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, Bush was only in office, you know, literally a few days when this happened. And now you have got the Clinton administration, obviously, that had a lot to do with what led up to all this stuff and what they allowed. And the fact that, of course, they famously had an opportunity to take out bin Laden and didn't do it. Now, once again, this is not Democrat, Republican.
Well,
this
it was 9 months that Bush
But I'm still saying that was very early in the administration.
Well, I'm saying Daddy Bush was the head of the CIA.
Exactly. And that there is all that, too. Yes.
The head of the CIA had run the Republican Party up until Trump took it back.
But that's the point.
At the grassroots level. And they're deep state. And that's what they do.
And this is so big, it goes way beyond party. That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that deep state mantle was passed from Bush controlling the party. The former director of the CIA steps out of the CIA, takes over the Republican Party after Reagan, and controls the grassroots, including the selection of candidates, all the way up through Trump. And you see what they're trying to do to Trump. Why? Because the deep state controlled the Republican Party for all those years through the Bush family. Again, you don't come out of the CIA as director of the CIA, take over the Republican Party, and the CIA has nothing to do with how you're running it. Sorry. Once you are part of the family, you're part of the family. So you've got this deep state cover-up on both sides of the aisles, what I'm saying, because of that.
Yeah.
Because of those deep, deep state connections. And look, during 9/11, we still trusted the deep state. We didn't know what they were.
Right.
We do now, and looking back on all this cover-up of 9/11 through the lens of how bad we know the deep state is today, you don't look at it the same. So, let me explain to you what is going on right now with the New York Times, okay? New York Times actually did an article, everybody's talking about it, how Kamala changed all of her positions. All of them. So, what did they do? It's like when you take your kid to get a shot. Hey, we're going to do a vaccination. Hey, this vax has 5 or 6 things in it. Yeah, they vaccinated her. That's why they admitted this. Hey, you know, she might have been radical 5 years ago. Hey, but look at her now. She doesn't want to take your guns by force anymore. Don't worry. Now she's very normal now. She's totally cool now. They had a whole thing about don't call anybody a radical Islamic terrorist or a terrorist at all. She didn't mean that. Yeah, that whole thing about it's not a crime to cross the border. Being an illegal alien isn't a crime. She didn't mean
being
that.
An undocumented immigrant is not a crime.
I know what a crime looks like.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
So anyway, that's a that is a vaccination. That is an inoculation. So that the liberal media can now say, whenever J.D. Vance or Donald Trump or anybody else comes forward and says, hey, she's good. She thinks she could take your guns by signing a piece of paper. She doesn't even need an act of Congress. The New York Times can run fact checks, and so can the rest of the media. Say, oh, that's not true. That's a lie. Why? Well, we vaccinated her. We inoculated her. We announced she had changed all her views. So now all her views are what they are now, with not what they were less than 5 years ago. Less than 5 years ago. That's the important thing to remember. This is this woman, less than 5 years ago.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. We're not going to treat people who are undocumented and cross the border as criminals.
You support the Medicare for All bill. It will totally eliminate private insurance.
Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
Assault weapons right. That are already in circulation. What do you do about those?
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
That's a real Kamala, less than 5 years ago. But the New York Times has absolved her. So that way they can run the fact checks. No, that's false. No, she doesn't. She doesn't think she can sign a little piece of paper, take your guns. Except here she is, less than 5 years ago on the mandatory gun buyback. This is not a throwaway line with her. She campaigned on it. She campaigned on it in 2019 and 2020. Listen to this. Mandatory gun buyback.
Do you believe in the mandatory buyback of quote-unquote assault weapons?
Great question. I do believe that we need to do buybacks. We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program. It's got to be smart. We got to do it the right way. You can be in favor of the Second Amendment and also understand that there is no reason in a civil society that we have assault weapons.
Biden saying there's no constitutional authority to issue that executive order when they say I'm going to eliminate assault weapons.
Hey, Joe, instead of saying no, we can't, let's say yes, we can.
Let's be constitutional. We got a constitution.
And yes, we can.
I'm going to replay that last part for you. That's the Democrat debate, okay? And Joe was actually saying, hey, I don't think I could take your guns executively, which is constitutionally correct. That's her saying, oh, yes, we can. I can sign a piece of paper. And you will have to come to the federal government and turn over your guns. Let me replay that for you.
Biden saying there's no constitutional authority to issue that executive order when they say I'm going to eliminate assault weapons.
Hey, Joe, instead of saying no, we can't, let's say yes, we can.
Let's be constitutional. We got a constitution.
And yes, we can.
Yes, we can. That's the real Kamala Harris. They got to cover her up. And that's the part, the point of the New York Times article. They're coming out because X is out there. All these videos are playing. People are sharing them off X. Elon Musk is retweeting them. They're getting 120 million views. The FBI can't stop it like they did over on Facebook this week when they got Zuckerberg to ban the sharing, essentially, of the Trump assassination photo. They can't stop it. So they're coming clean. They're inoculating her so they can begin running the fact checks. False. No, she didn't take your guns executively. She doesn't believe that. Why? Well, because she changed her mind last week. But that's her. That's the real her. Can I say something for a minute here? Hold on. Don't run the music yet. Give me a second. Okay. My daughter and I just went on the trip of a lifetime, right? I'm just talking about this trip. It was amazing. It's called the Mighty Five in Utah. And you hit five national parks. You do all the best hikes. Utah is not like South Carolina. Okay. You drive from here to Columbia. You got cell reception the whole way, right? So you break down, you call 911. They come. Not in Utah. You don't even hit the city limits in Utah. Cell service is gone. I told my daughter, pull up 911 and try to call. She said, was it that illegal? I'm like, I think we'll be okay. I don't think it'll connect. It didn't connect. I've never felt that in my life. I actually felt what the Wild West might be like. Why? Because my daughter and I, to do the trip in 10 days, we had to drive at night. We're driving at night through the desert. No cell phone connectivity for an hour, 50 minutes, hour and a half. All anybody had to do was throw down a rumble strip. We were utterly alone. I was terrified. And I started getting an idea it might be this way when I went to Utah. And so I was just looking at the pictures. I'm like, wow, there's nothing out there in the desert. That's weird. I started reading, wow, there's no cell reception. So I made sure my daughter and I had a gun. And my husband made sure she knew how to use it before we went. And we ended up hiking a lot of areas that were surprisingly remote. That gun was such a sense of comfort to me, knowing if I break down, I got a shot. We have a shot, because if we break down, we're going to be sitting ducks. Let's ring the dinner bell for any maniac on that highway. And yeah, there'll be a trial later, but it's too late. You have to defend yourself in a way you'll never have to as a woman driving from Greenville to Columbia, because you're going to have cell reception the whole way. You can call the cops. Not in Utah. I don't know why it's that way. It's weird. Next time, I'm not going out there again without a sat phone. That's too scary. But I realized that at the last minute, what I'm going to do, and I did it with a gun. And you know what I felt? I felt kind of naked because I didn't have two. And I thought, wow, because we had a revolver. And I thought, wow, if we miss him, then all he's going to know is we got a gun that's empty. We don't have another one. One wasn't enough. When somebody says to me, I'm going to take your guns as a woman, it's like you're saying, I'm going to strip you naked. I'm going to take away every defense that you have. And I'm going to send you out in that government, out in that desert alone with your daughter. And maybe you can use your nails to protect yourself. I get my dander up. And I understood in a way I've never understood it when I went to Utah. I felt what the Wild West was. You know what the Wild West was? You know what justice was? Justice was whoever was fastest with a gun. Nobody was coming. There wasn't even going to be a trial. Today there'll be a trial, but it won't matter. You'll be dead. Can't call 911. You are on your own. You break down out there. Good luck. You just got to hope the next guy who comes along is not a serial killer. And you got to know how to use that gun. I felt the need for that gun like I never have in my life. And when she says, I'm going to take it from you with an executive order, ha, 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 you know what that does? You know what it says to me? I'm going to be set up for a conflict with my government because I'm not turning that gun over. And I know you're not either. That is her saying, I'm going to put you in direct conflict with the government, because a lot of us know we can't turn them over now. We've seen what our government is. Well, I'm so glad. We have this nifty tool here that we haven't had in a while. We got it back. It's called Topic Pulse. It's the coolest thing. And what we can see using it is what struck a chord with the public. So then we'll know and we'll talk about it, right? We can actually see the demographic of the people that it hit. We can see what, you know, what's striking a chord, what's not, what they're liking, clicking, sharing, or just reading, and what is not something they care about. It's supposed to help us get better ratings, and you know, management loves it, blah, 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 blah. But the reason I love it is I can see what Trump does that strikes a chord. Trump struck a chord yesterday. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But first, I want you to know what else struck a chord. All the Kamala's positions changing. Look, you and I, we're talk radio listeners. We're the most politically sophisticated and informed people on earth. We are, bar none, okay? So we're all like, her position on this, that, that's what we care about, right? Regular person, they're busy. They don't have time for that. But they don't like a phony. They don't like a lying phony and a lying fake. Can't stand that. Whether it's their next door neighbor, their boss, or their friend, or someone they thought was their friend. One of the big things trending yesterday was this. Kamala Harris and the fake voice, Southern accent, some people called it. But it was really a black accent that she used in Georgia. That was trending yesterday. That was big deal. That hit hard. Where'd that come from? Oh, X. Nobody would see anything that's real if it weren't for X. People are sharing video off X. There is a powerful video out there right now. One of the first things that she did, Olympic ceremony style, when you begin something, we used to say a prayer in America. Now you go pay homage to a drag queen who uses a stripping pole. That's just what you do if you're a Democrat instead of saying a prayer. So she did what Democrats do. She made a voyage to pay homage to the RuPaul drag show. One of the first things she did when her campaign kicked off, right? This is what they do now. Same thing with the Olympic ceremony. Listen to the normal voice she used. This is trending right now. People are interested in this. This is how she normally talks, which for most Americans, a lot of Americans don't know how she normally talks. They're not paying attention to her. Largely because, by the way, remember Biden stuffed her in the closet. She was so unpopular. She was down to a 28% approval rating, and then she stopped doing public appearances, right? So a lot of Americans don't know who she is, or they don't know much about her. This was a normal Kamala Harris voice, okay?
We are all in this together. And your vote is your power. So please make sure
okay.
Your voice is
so heard. It's a two-part video. This is what's trending. Here's the voice she used to talk to black people in Georgia.
And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
So here's her RuPaul drag queen voice.
We are all in this together, and your vote is your power. So please make
this is Black Kamala, the fake Kamala.
And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
Yes, people were big into that yesterday. All right. Now, look what Trump did. There's some on our side freaking out about this. You know me. I'm a tough Trump critic. I will tell you if he screwed up. I don't pull any punches. We deal in reality on this show. A lot of people on our side saying Trump screwed up yesterday. Oh, he shouldn't have said she's not black. Really? Because it was one of the top trending things yesterday. Whole country was looking at it. It was huge. Why? For the same reason the Kamala fake black voice in Georgia was trending. Because she's fake. She's fake. And American people may not always be the most sophisticated about issues. They hate a phony. And let me tell you what, Trump nailed it yesterday with this. And you know how you know he nailed it? The people in the audience are black. He's talking to the Black Journalists Association. And they're with him. Not the wench, and she was a jerk, not the black woman interviewing him. They were with Trump. Trump nailed this, and you can tell by the reaction of the audience. Take a listen to what he said. This was risky. Not gonna lie to you about that, but he did not mess up here. He wanted, this is not a gaffe, this is not Trump going off script. He wants black people to take a good look at her and see, she is not one of you. She's not. She's going to pretend she is like she did in Georgia. She's one of them. And look, they know this, okay? She could not carry the black vote in that primary. She couldn't get to 3%. She couldn't get the white vote. She couldn't get the black vote. Trump is reminding them why they didn't vote for her. That was their instinct. They didn't go for her. He's saying your instinct was right, and here's why. This was hilarious. By the way, the crowd loved it.
Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much. And she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always identified as a black woman.
I respect either one.
College.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do you believe that she is?
I think somebody should look into that too when you ask a continue in a very hostile, nasty tone.
Did you hear them laughing? He nailed that. And that is a hard man, a really hard thing for a white man to do in front of a black audience. A very, very hostile, potentially black audience. He nailed that. That was exactly the thing to say. And everybody's talking about it this morning. You know how I can tell? I got that topic pulse back and I logged in. Everybody's talking about that. It's everywhere. It's trending with men. It's trending with women. It's trending with across all the age groups. Why? Because Americans hate a phony. That was the purpose of that. That, and it was brilliant. And again, you heard the audience almost entirely black. They were with him, not her. He's reminding them, she's not one of you. She doesn't think she's one of you. She thinks she's better than you. And she thinks you're not that bright. And that's why when she goes into Georgia, she talks like this.
And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
Brilliant performance by Trump yesterday. He nailed it. I'll tell you why. Coming up next.
Certainly, you could become the first Indian senator in U.S. history, which would be quite an accomplishment.
Not quite.
That's Kamala Harris running for Senate, where she sold herself as the first Indian senator. That was her. That's why it's so disingenuous the way she's selling herself. Now, she is a quarter white, half Indian. Her mom was Indian from the country of India. And her dad was part Jamaican, part black. And for whatever reason, she didn't want to be black when she ran for the Senate in California. You'd have to ask her. That's what Trump was pointing out yesterday. How disingenuous and fake this woman is. He could have done with the wonks on our side one. He's getting a lot of criticism right now online. You know me, I will wail on the man. He should have gone in there and talked about issues and payment rate and their pay was higher under him and it, but then groceries in it. No, they don't care about any of that. From Trump. Okay. They do care. They care about their checkout at the grocery store bill as much as any of us do. They care. But that wasn't gonna sway them. This did. The crowd was with him. This woman, this vicious journalist, threw everything at him she could think to do. Called him a racist to his face in front of a black crowd. That is normally not something that ends well. Normally not something that ends well. But listen to this clip too. They were with Trump, and this is a black crowd. And this is what is trending this morning on that, on Topic Pulse. All of America is watching this. They're all watching this. This clip about how she sold herself as Indian and now she wants to be black was devastating. And that is why the other thing trending this morning is her using that black voice in Georgia. It's a video, her using that black voice in Georgia versus the normal voice that she uses when she was on the RuPaul drag show. People aren't super sophisticated about issues, but they understand how to spot a phony from miles away. Here is Trump handling it after being called a racist. Now, I want you to know something about the journalist here. Okay? This is the journalist, the same woman who Nancy Pelosi got mad when she was asking her a couple weeks ago in the hall about Joe Biden and can he win. Pelosi turns to her, puts her finger in her face and goes, can you speak English? To a black journalist, no criticism. It's okay if the white liberal woman talks to the black journalist as if she is a dog. Okay, that's fine. And no criticism for that. It was a brutal clip. I'll play it coming up in the next hour. But Trump gets criticized for his pushback, and it makes people want to listen to it. Again, this is another one of those where the crowd was with Trump.
False claims about some of your rivals. I want to start by addressing the elephant in the room, sir. A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Wait till you hear how he handled it. It was brilliant. Coming up next. Well, I'm so glad. We have this nifty tool here that we haven't had in a while. We got it back. It's called Topic Pulse. It's the coolest thing. And what we can see using it is what struck a chord with the public. So then we'll know and we'll talk about it, right? We can actually see the demographic, the people that it hit. We can see what's striking chord, what's not, what they're liking, clicking, sharing, or just reading, and what he's not. Something they care about. It's supposed to help us get better ratings, and the management loves it, blah, 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 blah. But the reason I love it is I can see what Trump does that strikes a chord. Trump struck a chord yesterday. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But first, I want you to know what else struck a chord. All the commas, positions changing. Look, you and I, we're talk radio listeners. We're the most politically sophisticated and informed people on earth. We are, bar none, okay? So we're all like, her position on this and that and that, and that's what we care about, right? Regular person, they're busy. They don't have time for that. But they don't like a phony. They don't like a lying phony and a lying fake. Can't stand that. Whether it's their next door neighbor, their boss, or their friend, or someone they thought was their friend. One of the big things trending yesterday was this. Kamala Harris and the fake voice, Southern accent, some people called it. but it was really a black accent that she used in Georgia. That was trending yesterday. That was big deal. That hit hard. Where'd that come from? Oh, X. Nobody would see anything that's real if it weren't for X. People are sharing video off X. There is a powerful video out there right now. One of the first things that she did, Olympic ceremony style, when you begin something, we used to say a prayer in America. Now you go pay homage to a drag queen who uses a stripping pole. That's just what you do if you're a Democrat instead of saying a prayer. So she did what Democrats do. She made a voyage to pay homage to the RuPaul drag show. One of the first things she did when her campaign kicked off, right? This is what they do now. Same thing with the Olympic ceremony. Listen to the normal voice she used. This is trending right now. People are interested in this. This is how she normally talks, which for most Americans, a lot of Americans don't know how she normally talks. They're not paying attention to her. Largely because, by the way, remember Biden stuffed her in the closet. She was so unpopular. She was down to a 28% approval rating, and then she stopped doing public appearances, right? So a lot of Americans don't know who she is, or they don't know much about her. This was a normal Kamala Harris voice, okay?
We are all in this together, and your vote is your power. So please make sure
okay.
your voice is
so heard. It's a two-part video. This is what's trending. Here's the voice she used to talk to black people in Georgia.
And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
So here's her RuPaul drag queen voice.
We are all in this together, and your vote is your power. So please make sure.
This is black Kamala, the fake Kamala.
And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
Yes, people were big into that yesterday. All right. Now, look what Trump did. There's some on our side freaking out about this. You know me, I'm a tough Trump critic. I will tell you if he screwed up. I don't pull any punches. We deal in reality on this show. A lot of people on our side saying Trump screwed up yesterday. Oh, he shouldn't have said she's not black. Really? Because it was one of the top trending things yesterday. Whole country was looking at it. It was huge. Why? For the same reason the Kamala fake black voice in Georgia was trending. Because she's fake. She's fake. And American people may not always be the most sophisticated about issues. They hate a phony. And let me tell you what, Trump nailed it yesterday with this. And you know how you know he nailed it? The people in the audience are black. He's talking to the Black Journalists Association. And they're with him. Not the wench. And she was a jerk. Not the black woman interviewing him. They were with Trump. Trump nailed this, and you can tell by the reaction of the audience. Take a listen to what he said. This was risky. Not gonna lie to you about that, but he did not mess up here. He wanted, this is not a gaffe, this is not Trump going off script. He wants black people to take a good look at her and see, she is not one of you. She's not. She's going to pretend she is like she did in Georgia. She's one of them. And look, they know this, okay? She could not carry the black vote in that primary. She couldn't get to 3%. She couldn't get the white vote. She couldn't get the black vote. Trump is reminding them why they didn't vote for her. That was their instinct. They didn't go for her. He's saying your instinct was right, and here's why. This was hilarious. By the way, the crowd loved it.
Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much. And she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always identified as a black woman.
I respect either one.
College.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do you believe that she is?
I think somebody should look into that too when you ask a continue in a very hostile, nasty tone.
Did you hear them laughing? He nailed that. And that is a really hard thing for a white man to do in front of a black audience. A very, very hostile, potentially black audience. He nailed that. That was exactly the thing to say. And everybody's talking about it this morning. You know how I can tell? I got that topic pulse back and I logged in. Everybody's talking about that. It's everywhere. It's trending with men. It's trending with women. It's trending with across all the age groups. Why? Because Americans hate a phony. That was the purpose of that. That, and it was brilliant. And again, you heard the audience almost entirely black. They were with him, not her. He's reminding them, she's not one of you. She doesn't think she's one of you. She thinks she's better than you. And she thinks you're not that bright. And that's why when she goes into Georgia, she talks like this.
And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024. Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
Brilliant performance by Trump yesterday. He nailed it. I'll tell you why. Coming up next.
Certainly, you could become the first Indian senator in U.S. history, which would be quite an accomplishment.
Knock wood.
That's Kamala Harris running for Senate, where she sold herself as the first Indian senator. That was her. That's why it's so disingenuous the way she's selling herself. Now, she is a quarter white, half Indian. Her mom was Indian from the country of India. And her dad was part Jamaican, part black. And for whatever reason, she didn't want to be black when she ran for the Senate in California. You'd have to ask her. That's what Trump was pointing out yesterday. How disingenuous and fake this woman is. He could have done what the wonks on our side want. He's getting a lot of criticism right now online. You know me, I will wail on the man. He should have gone in there and talked about issues and payment rate and their pay was higher under him and it, but then groceries and it. No, they don't care about any of that. From Trump. Okay. They do care. They care about their checkout at the grocery store bill as much as any of us do. They care. But that wasn't gonna sway them. This did. The crowd was with him. This woman, this vicious journalist, threw everything at him she could think to do. Called him a racist to his face in front of a black crowd. That is normally not something that ends well. Normally not something that ends well. But listen to this clip too. They were with Trump, and this is a black crowd. And this is what is trending this morning on that on Topic Pulse, all of America's watching this. They're all watching this. This clip about how she sold herself as Indian and now she wants to be black was devastating. And that is why the other thing trending this morning is her using that black voice in Georgia. It's a video, her using that black voice in Georgia versus the normal voice that she uses when she was on the RuPaul drag show. People aren't super sophisticated about issues, but they understand how to spot a phony from miles away. Here is Trump handling it after being called a racist. Now, I want you to know something about the journalist here. Okay, this is the journalist, the same woman who Nancy Pelosi got mad when she was asking her a couple weeks ago in the hall about Joe Biden and can he win. Pelosi turns to her, puts her finger in her face and goes, "Can you speak English?" To a black journalist, no criticism. It's okay if the white liberal woman talks to the black journalist as if she is a dog. Okay, that's fine. But, and no criticism for that. It was a brutal clip. I'll play it coming up in the next hour. But Trump gets criticized for his pushback and it makes people want to listen to it. Again, this is another one of those where the crowd was with Trump.
Claims about some of your rivals. I want to start by addressing the elephant in the room, sir. A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Wait till you hear how he handled it. It was brilliant. Coming up next.
Certainly, you could become the first Indian senator in U.S. history, which would be quite an accomplishment.
Not quite.
That's Kamala Harris running for Senate, where she sold herself as the first Indian senator. That was her. That's why it's so disingenuous the way she's selling herself. Now, she is a quarter white, half Indian. Her mom was Indian from the country of India. And her dad was part Jamaican, part black. And for whatever reason, she didn't want to be black when she ran for the Senate in California. You'd have to ask her. That's what Trump was pointing out yesterday. How disingenuous and fake this woman is. He could have done what the wonks on our side want. He's getting a lot of criticism right now online. You know me, I will wail on the man. He should have gone in there and talked about issues and payment rate and their pay was higher under him and it, but then groceries in it. No, they don't care about any of that. From Trump. Okay, they do care. They care about their checkout at the grocery store bill as much as any of us do. They care. But that wasn't going to sway them. This did. The crowd was with him. This woman, this vicious journalist, threw everything at him she could think to do. Called him a racist to his face in front of a black crowd. That is normally not something that ends well. Normally not something that ends well. But listen to this clip too. They were with Trump, and this is a black crowd. And this is what is trending this morning on that, on Topic Pulse. All of America's watching this. They're all watching this. This clip about how she sold herself as Indian and now she wants to be black was devastating. And that is why the other thing trending this morning is her using that black voice in Georgia. It's a video, her using that black voice in Georgia versus the normal voice that she uses when she was on the RuPaul drag show. People aren't super sophisticated about issues, but they understand how to spot a phony from miles away. Here is Trump handling it after being called a racist. Now, I want you to know something about the journalist here. Okay? This is the journalist, the same woman who Nancy Pelosi got mad when she was asking her a couple weeks ago in the hall about Joe Biden and can he win. Pelosi turns to her, puts her finger in her face and goes, "Can you speak English?" To a black journalist, no criticism. It's okay if the white liberal woman talks to the black journalist as if she is a dog. Okay, that's fine. And no criticism for that. It was a brutal clip. I'll play it coming up in the next hour. But Trump gets criticized for his pushback and it makes people want to listen to it. Again, this is another one of those where the crowd was with Trump.
Claims about some of your rivals. I want to start by addressing the elephant in the room, sir. A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Wait till you hear how he handled it. It was brilliant. Coming up next.